All right, welcome to Tuesday's edition. Yeah, Corey Kluber, you're the best, Corey Kluber. We love you, Corey Kluber. And Sonny Gray and Jose Fernandez, Mookie Betts. We're going to talk about a lot of guys, but not all of them are struggling. However, you know, today, the kind of the theme of today's show, what's up with these hitters who just can't hit, like Yasiel Puig and Adrian Gonzalez and guys who aren't on the Dodgers? And what's up with Chris Towers and Heath Cummings today? Crazy.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
We're going to get into it on Corey Kluber. I don't know if you just want to do that first off, if you have an order of things, if you want to get yelled at later.
Let's do Sonny Gray first, but I want to tell the people about a few other things. First of all, sportsline.com. If you want to know what's going to happen in the games, we got computer models and not beautiful models, but computer projections on each game. They give you an A, B, and C pick on the game when it comes to the money line or the spread or the over-under. So that's for baseball, for basketball, for hockey right now, of course, for football and the two college sports.
I would say as somebody that uses the models, I think they're beautiful.
They can be pretty beautiful. So sportsline.com/podcast if you want to sign up. It's just $10 a month. There is a lot of free content, but the paid content, $10 a month, and I strongly recommend it. We're going to have I don't think we're going to do emails today because we have some buy or sell tweets, but we'll do a mini mailbag tomorrow. So email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And if you're interested in our podcast, go to cbssports.com/podcast. Also, if you're interested in hearing about how Chris talked to Barry Bonds yesterday, well, here's that story. Chris, you talked to Barry Bonds yesterday.
I mean, it's not really a story. I'm an awkward, uncomfortable person who generally does not feel, how there are some people who just have a natural magnanimous energy about them. They're able to talk to other adult human beings in a way that adult human beings are supposed to.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, it took like 4 weeks of me working here before Chris even said hi.
Most of my interactions with people, especially if I don't know them all that well, just mostly involve mumbling in their direction while avoiding eye contact.
How'd it go with Barry Bonds?
That's basically what happened when I talked to Barry Bonds. I mean, I tried to make eye contact. I was, it's a, not a Hall of Famer, but a very good player.
Did you say, hey, what's up with those steroids you took?
No, of course not. Come on.
Did you ask him why he didn't give D. Gordon better steroids that wouldn't be caught?
Well, I did. I asked him why he didn't give him the masking agents.
Right.
I was working on something about Marcelo Zuna, so I asked him about it, and I think he thought my questions were stupid.
Oh.
Which, fair.
Were they
totally
stupid?
Totally not an unfair conclusion for Barry Bonds to make.
What were the questions? Were they stupid, Chris?
I thought they were. I was just wondering, Marcelo Zuna is hitting for more power to open the season because he's putting the ball in the air. I was asking if those were mechanical adjustments, if there was a change in approach for Marcelo Zuna. And he said he didn't realize that he was hitting more fly balls.
Oh, okay.
So, very helpful.
Maybe he's stupid.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
I would default to me being the stupid one.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I'm glad you went to the game and you had a chance to see Jose Fernandez. Let's talk about a couple of starting pitchers. Email of the day is from Jake in Kansas City. The title was, I hate Sonny Gray. And he said, I'm finished. I have Price, Scherzer, and Gray in a roto league. I thought I'd be in good shape because I also have Hamels, Maeda, Nola, and Darvish. I'm dropping Sonny Gray. I don't even care. He's worthless to me. He has zero trade value. I'm adding Steven Wright for Sonny Gray. Don't care if this is the wrong move. I don't want this guy on my team.
Well, I think pretty clearly it's the right move. I mean, Steven Wright has an ERA under 2, and Sonny Gray has an ERA of 6, and ERA matters.
ERA does matter.
So I
think... Yes. Adam, what do you think about this one?
Well, I think
you agree, right? You're 100% there.
I think it's silly. You can't
drop. No, it's 100% the right
move. He's got a 6 ERA.
ERA is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you could look at the underlying stats and say, Sonny Gray's, this is your stupid argument.
No,
Sonny Gray's having a great year, right?
No underlying stats here.
No, yeah, there's some issues here with Sonny Gray. It's only 3 starts. His last 3 have been terrible. He's walking a lot of guys. And he said, I read a couple articles today. A scout was quoted as saying his stuff is flat. He was up in the zone a lot. He's not locating well. Whatever it is, Sonny Gray, is he worrisome to you guys right now?
He's a little worrisome. He's been extremely, if you believe that career norms are more predictable than 39 innings of this season, then you would have to say that Sonny Gray's been a little bit unlucky. He's got a 64% strand rate. That's the number of runners that are getting on base and not scoring. His career mark, 74%. He's giving up a 15% home run to fly ball rate. His career mark's 9.7%. And he's giving up a 328 BABIP. His career mark's 272. Now, part of that is his own fault because he's, well, maybe it's not his own fault. I don't know how much we believe that pitchers have control over exit velocity, but he is giving up the most hard contact of his career. I'm not really, like, I'm not happy about it if I have Sonny Gray, but I don't think I'm even benching him next week. And maybe if he had another bad start on Saturday, then I would bench him. But if he's decent on Saturday, I'm starting him next week.
Well, yeah, I think it makes sense to sit him at this point. I think dropping him is ridiculous. I think it's a silly overreaction. I think a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today are going to be silly overreactions. I guess you could look at it this way. His last three starts last season, he allowed 15 runs. So now, what, six of his last 13 starts or six of his last 10 starts have been bad, something like that. I'm not that worried. Like, it happens sometimes. Pitchers go through stretches. Baseball seasons are long. It's 1/10 of his season. He'll probably figure it out unless there's some kind of underlying mechanical issue that they can't figure out. Or some kind of underlying physical issue, and as far as we know, there isn't. I don't think you can make an actionable move.
Plus, there's no upside to dropping Sonny Gray.
Yeah,
no, it's dumb. And so, look, here's the thing, though. Gray, in September, he had a 6.84 ERA. So, as Chris just kind of did mention, this is continuing from last year. You know, but the thing is, you could say the same thing about Chris Archer. Chris Archer struggled like his last six starts of last year, and then his first however many this year, and he seems to be okay now. So I think Gray is a good buy low candidate because the perception of him is, I don't know, people really like Sonny Gray.
Well,
the
problem for me is I have him on all my points leagues teams, and that's why I've been off such a terrible start to this season, which great start to week six.
Yeah, that's tough.
No,
yeah.
I think he's you could probably buy lower on him than you would be able to, say, a Zach Greinke before his last start.
Right.
And I don't know that there's a huge amount of difference between the two.
I do wonder how good did we think Sonny Gray is? Did we think he's a sub 2 ERA kind of pitcher?
Sub 3
ERA kind of pitcher?
He's around there.
Peripherals did not.
Yeah, because if you thought he was going to replicate last season, then you're probably going to be more prone to overreaction because you thought he might be an ace. Sonny Gray should never have been viewed as an ace. Really solid number two starting pitcher.
Yeah, he's not an ace, but his ERA in three seasons is 267, 308, and 273. So don't fit me here. I mean,
one of those seasons was 65 innings.
Okay, fine. So 308 and 273 in two seasons. I think you can expect an ERA around three from Sonny Gray going forward, hopefully. All right, ERA matters. Corey Kluber owners. He's got a 414 ERA. He was horrible yesterday. Are you guys concerned about Corey Kluber?
He struggled with his command a little bit yesterday. It was a bad start. I am not worried about Corey Kluber.
Adam, in any of the leagues that we're in, do you own Corey Kluber?
I don't.
I looked already this morning. I was going to make an offer.
I would hope that you just drop him.
Okay, here's the thing.
No. Here's the thing.
Okay.
How does ERA matter after he gives up five runs in 2 2/3 innings, but not when he goes 9 shutouts? How does that work? How do you square this circle?
It always matters. What are you talking about? Like, it's
how
a stat.
How are you going to thump your chest because he gave up five runs in one outing 5 days after he threw a complete game shutout?
Not only that, his previous three starts, three earned runs in 24 innings with two walks and 23 strikeouts. Now, I need to clarify something here. I am not saying that Corey Kluber stinks. I'm not even saying that I'm down on Corey Kluber. What I'm saying is that he disappointed us last year, and you nerds are in denial about it because you refuse to look at the single most important stat for a starting pitcher, which is earned run average.
Most important stat.
Well, it is when it comes to actual production. It's not when it comes to predicting future production. I understand the distinction.
That's like Jose Quintana disappointed last season because he won 9 games, but we know that's not predictive. If we're talking about what's likely to happen, Jose Quintana posting a low 3 ERA is going to win more than 9 games.
Yeah.
Corey Kluber, with the peripherals that he has, is likely to post better than a 3.55 ERA.
Yeah, I understand all that.
Yes,
I understand.
You are technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
No, you are really misconstruing everything I'm saying here. Because what I'm saying, I am not saying that Corey Kluber is not going to have a good year or that he's not good. What I'm saying is that he disappointed fantasy owners last year because he had a 3.49 ERA.
Here's the problem. His performance last year was disappointing to fantasy owners. I would get behind that.
Yes.
Saying he disappointed fantasy owners is where I have a problem with it.
What is the difference?
His defense disappointed fantasy owners.
Because he won 9 games is the main reason he disappointed fantasy owners. You will take 222 innings and 240 strikeouts and a 3.49 ERA over 180 innings and 160 strikeouts and a 3 ERA.
Yes, you will. And
so
that's the thing.
ERA is not the most important thing of all.
But it is, because it also ties into your wins, because the higher ERA, the less likely, I understand there are exceptions, but the less likely you are to win. And here, okay, let's forget this argument here. With
his,
Corey Kluber.
His 2015 season was disappointing to fantasy owners.
With Corey Kluber, I mean, like, the guy has bad starts. You know, that's the thing. He has more bad starts.
True. All but almost 4 or 5 pitchers have bad starts.
Please let me finish. I think he has more bad starts than where do you have him ranked? In your top 8?
Yeah.
I think he has more bad starts than a guy ranked that high should have. Okay?
More than David Price?
No! Please stop with this sarcasm crap. I'm being serious.
These guys are
here.
In my top 8.
I understand, and David Price has some serious velocity concerns right now. I think you sweep everything under the rug with Corey Kluber and act like nothing is wrong. When are you going to wake up and realize that the guy has been a little bit less productive a lot less productive than you want him to be? This is what I don't understand. It's like, why are there no issues at all with what Corey Kluber does? I don't get it. Everything is peachy keen with him, no matter what. It's like, we ignore all the bad starts
yesterday
because the peripherals
start sucked.
Are good.
He was bad yesterday.
Well, my thing is, we can acknowledge the bad starts and also acknowledge that they're not necessarily representative. And they're not like, what would you like me to do with this information? Okay, we've acknowledged that he has bad starts. Now where do we go?
I think maybe he's not a top 8 pitcher. Maybe he's more like a top 15 pitcher. I'm not sure. I don't know. Just the thing is, I'm not even that down on Corey Kluber. I just wish you guys would acknowledge
that
Corey Kluber isn't the greatest pitcher.
Kershaw's not had bad starts. Arrieta's not had bad starts. Sale's been really good this year. Thor's been
incredible. Sale had a bunch of bad starts last season.
Yes, but I've got Max Scherzer 4th. He's had some awful starts. I've got David Price 7th. He's had some terrible starts. Bum at 8th has gotten rocked. Maybe I need to boost Straws up because he hasn't had any bad starts this year.
No, it's not that.
Harvey's had bad starts. Jose's had bad starts. DeGrom's had bad starts.
I get
Felix has had bad starts. Garrett Cole's had, I mean, every pitcher after the top 5 has had some pretty awful starts early this year.
Pitching is hard.
I understand. All right. We're going around in circles. Let's move on. Your tweet of the day comes from Chris Towers.
Oh.
3 more hits for Derek Dietrich, who's still just 28% owned. Second base, third base, outfield eligible. What are you waiting for with Derek Dietrich?
You know, the problem is I've had a bunch of people respond to that tweet by asking who they should drop.
And you wouldn't drop any of them.
Well, yeah, because it's, there's a lot of them like, someone asked me if they should drop Yasiel Puig for him. No, of course you shouldn't. Yasiel Puig's better than Derek Dietrich. But Derek Dietrich still needs to be owned in more leagues than he is.
Would you drop Jonathan Scope for Derek Dietrich?
I think so.
That's really close. I probably would, just because of roster flexibility.
Yeah.
I maybe need to move Dietrich ahead of Scope in my rankings. I'm not sure if I've got him there or not, but that's a good one.
Would you rather have Marcus Semien or Derek Dietrich for your middle infield spot?
I've got Semien ranked higher. I did move Dietrich ahead of Colton Wong.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I had somebody ask me him or Joe Panik. That one's tough.
I'd much rather have Panik.
Dietrich or Forsyth?
Josh Harrison?
It's got to be Forsyth. I mean,
I've got Forsyth ahead of him. It's Starlin Castro.
See, like, that's the problem is the second base in particular this season has had a lot of guys hitting the ball really well.
DJ LeMahieu.
I think I'd rather have Dietrich than LeMahieu. Sure. I guess maybe LeMahieu in points because he never strikes out, but like, he doesn't really do anything.
DJ LeMahieu is the number 11 second baseman in both formats. Saw this morning.
What does he do well?
What are his stolen base totals this year? That was basically what saved LeMahieu.
I think he scores runs for sure. I think his average is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's what he doesn't strike out, so he'll hit for a decent average and plays in cores, but like
he's got 19 runs already this year.
Yeah, he'll score runs
and 5 stolen bases.
Yeah,
okay,
that counts.
So average runs and stolen bases. That's 3.
Only 60% of the categories.
Here's something that caught my eyes. I was looking at rankings. Mookie Betts. We haven't talked much about him. You could see him and say he's having a disappointing year right now. 246, 291 on base, 401 slugging for Mookie Betts. He's the number 9 outfielder in fantasy, and I love Mookie Betts in fantasy because even when he is struggling, he's still giving you production. And last year, his first 25 games were horrible. He had a 223 average with 2 home runs and 5 steals, and then he was great the rest of the season, 120 games, 306, 350, 506 with 16 home runs and 16 steals. I don't know if people realize how good he's been in fantasy. Maybe the perception is that he's having a bad year. Maybe make some offers for Mookie Betts.
That brings up, and I'll be quick because I know that we're going slow, but Scott said something yesterday on the podcast, and the more I thought about it in the afternoon, the more I thought, And then they scored 14 runs last night, so maybe he was right. But he said we have to start looking at the Red Sox as if they're the Blue Jays from last year.
I said that.
I don't know if I believe that.
No, they're not going to score that many runs, but they are the best offense right now in the American League, and they are the toughest matchup, and it's like, do you start guy like Chris Devensky was a tough call for me because one of his starts this week was against the Red Sox. Sonny Gray would have been a tough call for me, you know, because the Red Sox, like, they are mashing, and they have a great lineup.
Did you just compare Sonny Gray to Chris Devensky?
Well, one was a two-star guy. I'm not sure if Sonny Gray is he should be a two-star guy, right?
Sure, he is, yes.
Yeah, like a one-start Sonny Gray, you know, against the Red Sox. I don't think that was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Sox are, they're killing people right now. All right, anyway, sorry. So Mookie Betts, hooray for him. Here's some news. Steven Strasburg, 7 years and $175 million. That's his contract extension. There will be an early opt-out clause in there. Arizona manager Chip Hale said that Peter O'Brien, minor leaguer, who was a catcher, now he's an outfielder, not a, you know, defense is a problem. He's going to force Arizona's hand soon with the way he is hitting. That's what Chip Hale said. What do you guys think about that?
They have so many of these guys that used to play somewhere else and they put them in the outfield because they can't really defend.
Yep.
And they don't have a good center fielder. I don't think Peter O'Brien's going to come play center. Jake Lamb's crushing the ball. Brandon Drury's exceeding expectations. Yasmani Tomas looks better than he did last year. I don't know. Like, he comes up and where?
The only thing that my reaction was like, this might not be good for Brandon Drury. It might just mean everybody starts. Well,
the way Drury's going right now, I can't imagine you bring a minor leaguer up because Drury's kind of a prospect himself.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Peter O'Brien has a .324 on base percentage in the minors, which isn't bad. That's okay. Right in line with his career norms. He's hitting .324. He has 1 walk and 111 plate appearances with 31 strikeouts.
How many home runs?
9. He can hit for power.
Yeah. Starlin Castro could be back today. Jacoby Ellsbury will not play today. He might be back in the next few days, or he might go on the DL. Danny Valencia, tough break for him. He just came off the DL with a hamstring injury. He injured that same hamstring he left with tightness in it.
That's like I was saying in the preseason. You got a guy that's played part-time his whole career. You just can't trust him to stay healthy.
Yeah, that was your issue with him. Houston needs to decide who leaves the rotation when Lance McCullers comes back.
They've got candidates. They've got plenty of options.
But actually, think about it. I mean, it's probably going to be Devensky, right?
I would assume so.
This is my hope, because I actually own Devensky in like 3 leagues.
I know.
Or 4 leagues, actually. I hope Doug Fister has a terrible outing and Devensky is really good again. That is our only hope here, Devensky owners, because it's not going to be McHugh, and Fires probably saved his job last night.
I think you need to hope that Devensky gets sent back down before he turns into a pumpkin again and hurts your fantasy team, because he's not good.
That says you.
Okay, says me.
Brian Dozier was in the lineup before his game got rained out. David Peralta day-to-day with a sore forearm. Logan Forsythe hit by a pitch day-to-day with a sore shoulder. Autocorrect of the day, Mariners pitcher Tahitian Walker is likely to make his next start, which would be tomorrow. So that's good. He went from Taiwan to Tahiti, all around the world. And Aroldis Chapman returned, gave up a run on two hits.
He's been awful this season.
140 miles per hour.
ERA matters. He's got a 9.
9 ERA.
There's no way they can leave him as the closer.
You know what, Heath? You changed the wins to quality starts in our podcast rejects. Like, why don't we just change ERA to FIP?
Great.
Yeah, that'd be a great fantasy league.
In.
All right, so we got to talk about those struggling hitters. We'll get to them, and we'll do some buy or sell. But right now, we're going streaking. We got four players who are red hot right now.
Bring your funny hat.
Bring your green hat?
Yeah.
Red hat? What does he have?
Green hat.
Green hat, yeah.
Snoopaloop.
Rougned Odor, number 4 second baseman in fantasy over his last 13 games. Rougned Odor is batting .379 with 5 home runs and 5 doubles. Is this legit, guys? Is Rougned Odor a clear-cut top 5 second baseman?
Go ahead, Chris.
No, Rougned Odor is really good. Rougned Odor, since coming back from the minors last season, is hitting like .292 with a .523 slugging or something. He's really good. He's an extremely good hitter. He will go through some rough patches because his plate discipline isn't great, but he's a really good hitter. He's 22 years old. I don't see any reason to doubt him.
I've got him 4th overall among second basemen. I think he will have another cold streak, and I think you should ride it out.
How about Brian Dozier or Rougned Odor?
I just moved Dozier yesterday below Odor.
So who's number 3 for you?
I still believe in Anthony Rendon.
Oh, okay.
Everybody keeps saying
I believe. Look, I believe in him too. It's just at some point, like, we're a year and a half, 2 years removed from him actually being that good.
I think most of the peripherals say he's just as good as he was 2 years ago. It's only been 30 games.
Is that better than Rougned Odor, though?
In that Nationals lineup, it might not be. That lineup stinks.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, if he hit 20 homers with 111 runs and 17 stolen bases.
Back when Ryan Zimmerman was alive and Jason Wirth.
What is their ideal lineup? Put Rendon leadoff, Harper second, and Murphy third?
A bunch of guys who might not be good anymore start hitting again?
I'd say Revere, even though he doesn't
win. Oh, yeah, Revere. Revere, Rendon, Harper,
yeah.
Murphy.
Ketel Marte, guys, 64% owned.
On fire.
Yeah, last 17 games, .317 with 7 doubles. Marte homered last night. You're not going to get a lot of those, but could get some extra base hits for sure. Ketel Marte is 64% owned, and right now he's number too low?
That's too low.
Would you rather have him or too low?
He's the next Troy Tulowitzki?
I've still got too low ranked ahead of him. I've got him as my 12th. Shortstop right now. And that's kind of where I've had him most of the year. I had to drop him in one league because somebody dropped Corey Seager and I just couldn't see hanging on to him. But I've got him on most of my other teams. And I think he'll be a starting caliber shortstop the rest of the year.
The one thing for me, he's only walked 4 times this season. Like,
yeah,
that's... I mean, he's got a .323 on base percentage while hitting .297. That's really tough to sustain, especially with a guy who doesn't have a ton of secondary skills.
His plate discipline was better last year, though, right?
Yes. He had 24 walks and 43 strikeouts.
I wonder if he is definitely seeing more pitches in the zone. He's also swinging more and making a lot more contact than he did last year.
Okay. Those are good things.
Yeah.
Ketel Marte, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, who's buying Jackie Bradley? Jackie Bradley is now the number 20 outfielder in fantasy. Bradley's 62% owned. In his last 16 games, I think, is his hitting streak. You know what? I don't have the exact numbers. I do apologize. But now his overall numbers for Jackie Bradley, .303, .353, .550 with 4 home runs, 7 doubles and 4 triples. Wow. What do you guys think?
Last 105 games, .267, .340, .515. He's hitting the ball really well. A lot of power.
Now, wait, Chris. There is a breakdown of what he did last year that's interesting. He had a one-month stretch, Jackie Bradley Jr., August 6th to September 7th, with a 1361 OPS. Got to be the best hitter in baseball. 424 with 7 home runs and 13 doubles. 1 month, 1361 OPS. That's Hall of Fame. Next 25 games, he batted 138 with 2 home runs to finish the season. So he had an amazing month, and that was pretty much it last year. Now it's good.
He hit 19 homers between AAA and the majors last season after hitting 2 the previous year.
I tell you what, if we're going to just go through as many Jackie Bradley splits as possible, High Heat Stats tweeted out this morning, last 81 games, that's a perfect split, half a season, 298, 361, 588.
Wow.
With 24 doubles, 8 triples, and 13 home runs.
Yeah, so he doesn't steal bases, and I don't know, maybe he's more of a doubles and triples hitter than a home run hitter, so maybe he profiles more as a points guy, but let me throw out some names. Would you rather have Jackie Bradley Jr. or David Peralta?
I'm going to have to move Bradley up today. I talked last week on the video about how I didn't believe in it, and he's done enough in the last week to convince me I'm going to have to believe in it a little more. I think I'll still like Peralta more, though.
Jackie Bradley Jr. or Alex Gordon?
Alex Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Bradley Jr. or Chris Davis with a K?
That'll be, I think I could see Jackie Bradley. Like, those guys are kind of similar.
I mean, I look at Chris Davis as someone that's, like, probably worth owning. Well, he's worth owning, but, like, I never feel good about starting
him.
No,
never.
At least Bradley's in a good offense in a better park.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with Bradley.
And finally, let's talk about Avisail Garcia, 20% owned. Last 10 games, he's batting .472 with 2 home runs. 6 RBIs, 3 doubles, and a triple. Anybody excited about Avi Garcia?
Mm-mm. That's okay. Good.
No.
All right, then. Hey, I hope you stacked your FanDuel lineup with Yankees, maybe Royals. Save some room for Coors Field. Always a good idea to save room for Coors Field when you're setting a FanDuel lineup. Now, FanDuel lets you do a couple of things that you love doing. Number one, FanDuel lets you play more fantasy baseball. Number two, FanDuel lets you win some money, and over 1 million users have already won money on FanDuel. You are next, so set a lineup. Choose from any player in baseball. If you got Corey Kluber last night, you don't have to deal with that anymore. Pick someone else today. Choose from any player that's playing in today's games. Stay under the salary cap. Enter a contest. They start at $1. And see how you do against other fantasy baseballers out there. It's a really good way to test your skills. If you want a free shot at some money on FanDuel, here's how we can make that happen. Sign up today, enter your first league, and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. The promo code, again, is HOMERUN with no spaces. All right, before buy or sell, let's go to the struggling hitters. This is called Enough Already. It's time to turn your season around, guys. Couple of Dodgers at the forefront of this. Yasiel Puig is batting .235 with 3 home runs and 3 steals. 6 walks, 28 Ks. And Adrian Gonzalez has a 1.28 ground ball to fly ball ratio, which is basically double what he's been in his 4 seasons with the Dodgers. He is hitting a ton of ground balls. So we got Puig, and we've got Adrian Gonzalez. Enough already. When are they going to turn it around?
I would probably have more faith in Puig turning it around just because he's a full 9 years younger than Adrian Gonzalez. I know we're all down on Yasiel Puig. He was bad last season. He hasn't been good this season, and I get that. I have trouble giving up on him. He's too talented not to turn it around at some point. He's going to be the type of hitter that is, he's been streaky in his career. I know the last 10 months have been mostly just the bad type of streaky, but I still can't give up on Yasiel Puig.
I've dropped Gonzalez one spot in my first base rankings behind Eric Hosmer. I think Scott has as well. I don't think Al's the only one that still has Gonzalez ahead of Hosmer. If you want an explanation for his lack of power, the ground ball rate's a good place to start. He's also 29% pull rate is the lowest of his career. I would agree with Chris that I'd have higher expectations for Puig than Gonzalez the rest of the year. I'd probably still be starting Gonzalez unless they're facing a bunch of lefties next week.
It's kind of interesting with Gonzalez. I mean, last year, so here's a guy who's 34. Okay, I mean, he's not super old, and two straight years, basically the same exact season, hitting right around 275. On base, 335 to 350, slugging, right, 480, 482, two straight seasons, almost the same slash line, 27 home runs, 28 home runs. Last year, he hit 16 of his home runs in 2 months. You know, right. He had two good months all year. I don't like players like that, but there's another guy on this list, Albert Pujols, who's batting 190 with six home runs. He's another guy who, two straight years for Pujols, has done almost all of his damage in a very short span. So I wonder if it makes sense to actually put in a buy low bid for guys like Gonzalez and Pujols, unless you just think they're done, because you know the production is coming. It might be hard to pill to swallow getting them on your team, but you know, do you feel like you know the production is going to come for these vets?
I mean, Pujols is considerably older than Gonzalez. His numbers do, right? He's 38 or 9?
Pujols, I'll check for you.
Chris is looking at me like I'm way wrong.
Okay, he's 2 years older.
He's only 36. Okay, well, that's...
I mean...
A lot of aging happens between 34 and 36.
A lot of aging happens between 31 and 34. I mean, that's the thing, is once you hit like 31, 32, I'm kind of willing to take into account the potential for any kind of
drama. Who's the ageist now? I will say Pujols' peripherals look very, very similar to last year, except for BABIP. Which, his BABIP still sucked last year, but this year it's stupid low. I've lowered him a little bit just because I'm giving up on the idea that he can improve on the things he wasn't good at last year. I think something I said earlier in the year is at his age, the skill set's still there, but the timing just has to be perfect. And he goes through stretches where the timing, he's synced up and it's perfect, but it's not going to be there all year.
I mean, Pujols is also a guy that's never going to have a high BABIP. He never has. He's a 295 BABIP career. He hasn't been above 260 in any of his last four seasons.
Right. That's a far cry from where he is right now.
Sure. But, you know, what he was last season, 217, with the fact that he's becoming, or that he's pretty fly ball heavy, fact that he doesn't hit line drives anymore. A lot of infield fly balls still. He's not speedy at all. This is a guy who should be one of the worst BABIP hitters in baseball. And whether that's 250 instead of 170 is kind of splitting hairs.
Not at all. That's a 60-point difference in betting average.
If he hits 240, sure. I'm not expecting that much different from him, though.
Than last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, but still, like, he's killing your team right now with a 190 average. We'd expect that to get better.
Yes.
Yeah, Pujols with 13 walks, 15 strikeouts in 31 games. So that's a good sign. The interesting thing about Gonzalez and Pujols, not to belabor it, is I didn't want either of them. I pretty much refused to draft either of these guys. But now that you've gotten a month and a half of horrible production, well, not quite a month and a half, more like a month of horrible production out of the way, again, I'm not going to be making any offers, but I don't think it'd be the worst idea. Let's move to Prince Fielder, who, according to Baseball Reference, his nickname is Uncle Phil. Did you guys know that? Prince Fielder?
That makes a lot of sense. It's outstanding.
I'm pretty sure they just make up nicknames that, like, nobody has ever referred to. Because I'm pretty sure Austin Rivers in the NBA, his nickname on Basketball Reference is, like, Ice Cold or Sub-Zero, and nobody has ever referred to him as that.
I wouldn't be surprised. Rougned Odor seems like a guy that likes to have a lot of fun. I wouldn't be surprised if Rougned Odor was watching some Fresh Prince reruns because he was too young to see him the first time. And he said, "You look just like Uncle Phil."
Well,
I'm going to give Rougned Odor credit for that with no evidence whatsoever.
Prince Uncle Phil Fielder is batting 192 with two home runs, 9 walks, 24 strikeouts, 26% line drive rate, same exact line drive rate as last year, but a terrible 4% home run to fly ball rate. Do things get better? I mean, obviously they get a little bit better, but do they get better enough for Prince Fielder where his owners are going to be happy?
His batted ball numbers look a lot like the 2014 season.
That's
he only played 42 games, so it's not, and this is only, what, 25 games, so it's not necessarily, or 33 games. It's not necessarily a death knell, but hard hit rate, 25.2. That'll lead to a 5.7% home run to fly ball ratio. That's That's indicative of a loss of raw power. Now, it's worth pointing out, as with everything that we discuss at this point in the season, that has been is not necessarily the same thing as is or will be.
Did you just call Prince Fielder a has-been?
No.
Oh.
Talk about Uncle Phil that way.
He has been hitting for no power, but that's not necessarily to say that he won't hit for power moving forward.
He's got a 514 OPS just against right-handed pitching.
That's real bad.
That's awful.
Are you making offers for Prince Fielder, or do you want to avoid?
I'm not making offers. I'm not dropping him if I own him, but I'm not starting him either.
Okay. Who turns it around first, Adam Jones or Miguel Sano?
Okay, there. Like, you asked us to take a look at these players and see, do some research. Miguel Sano might be the unluckiest hitter. Like, he is crushing the baseball.
Really?
He's got a 40% hard contact rate. He's got a 33% line drive rate.
That's great.
He's striking out a ton, but he's going to strike out a ton. That's what he did last year. The fact that he doesn't have more power numbers, and I think he might be hitting a few more ground balls than he did, but his 33% line drive rate, that shouldn't matter.
His ground ball rate's actually lower.
Okay.
His fly ball rate's slightly lower, only because he's hitting so many line drives.
I mean, we talk about how lucky Daniel Murphy's been, but he's also been crushing the ball. He's got a 42% hard contact rate and a 30% line drive rate, and that's why he has a 424 BABIP, and he's got great stats. Miguel Sano is basically doing the same thing, and he's got a good BABIP, but he's just not getting extra base hits. I have to believe that'll change.
That's really interesting.
I would guess I feel fine about Adam Jones turning it around, although he's got a really high ground ball rate too, kind of like Adrian Gonzalez. But the rest of Jones' numbers look pretty normal. I think I feel better about Sano than Jones.
And then two Blue Jays, we have a tweet from Nick, so let's go to Chris. Troy Tulowitzki and Russell Martin. Nick's tweet, Chris, is should I trade Tulowitzki for Trevor Story?
maybe I like at least Trevor Story gets to hit at Coors Field.
The Rogers Center's awful.
I mean, Coors Field's a lot better.
There's only one Coors Field.
The Rogers Center's a good park for power. Coors Field's a good park for absolutely everything. Yeah, I probably have to go with Story there.
Wow.
I haven't moved Story ahead of Tulo yet. I did move Jung-ho Kang ahead of Tulo. Tulo's down to seventh now.
I mean, it's not like the numbers were decent when he was in Colorado last season, but they weren't spectacular. And the underlying skill set surrounding them indicated that his skills were atrophying, and that has only continued this season. Every trend from last year.
And he hasn't gotten injured yet. That's going to happen, Tulo.
That was a fantastic word.
Atrophying.
I know all about atrophy, but yes. Atrophying is...
It's a word.
Oh, wait, I know it is.
It's the verb.
He's a very smart man.
Atrophy.
Yeah. But believe it or not, Barry Bonds, Chris Towers is a very, very smart man.
Yeah, Barry Bonds.
You should have asked him about all the atrophying he's had over the last 5 years.
He's still big. That dude's still real big.
And then Russell Martin. You know, it's hard to ignore the walk to strikeout ratio anymore. He's batting 163, Russell Martin, with 5 walks and 36 strikeouts. He's 75% owned. He's killing a couple of my teams.
I think his strikeout rate's like 40% right now.
Yeah.
Oh, 38%. Sorry. That's real bad.
I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know. I mean, you're probably not dropping him unless it's a one catcher league, but if it's a one catcher league, you're dropping him.
The problem is that catcher sucks so bad, and there's so many injured catchers and so many underperforming catchers. I think in most instances, I have to hold on to him just because if he gets right, I mean, he's not swinging at more pitches out of the strike zone. He just can't make contact with anything.
Oh, great. That's great news. He got overwhelmed by Jake Peavy last night. Oh, gosh. Ridiculous. But listen, he got dropped in our 16-team one catcher league. One catcher, but still 16 teams. Like, you can't drop Russell Martin. If you're going to drop Russell Martin, there's got, like, if JT Realmuto is out there in, let's say, a 10-team league, would you drop Russell Martin? Oh, by the way, Real Muto homered last night, but it didn't count.
Yeah, kind of.
So basically, the Marlins had two home runs that weren't actually home runs.
Yes.
Because Derek Dietrich hit a little league inside the park home run. But
was weird. They put an error on the third baseman, even though the throw from the right fielder hit Dietrich.
Hmm. That is weird.
Yeah, Real Muto hit a home run. Marcelo Ozuna was on first base. He went back to tag because it was right at the wall. And Dietrich touched first base while Marcelo Ozuna was on it.
Real Muto. Not
or Real Muto, yeah.
Oh, no, he passed Ozuna. So it ended up being a run, one run in. Ozuna's run counted. And
it was
a single for Real Muto, but he was called out.
It was a put out. The first baseman was credited with a put out.
Yeah, so that was interesting. All right, guys, we just got a trade offer in our inbox from Frederico. I got offered Sonny Gray for Masahiro Tanaka in Roto. Which side would you rather have?
I think I'd still rather have Gray, but I'm not 100% sure on it.
Tonight's
because like Tanaka. We thought would be striking more guys out, and at this point, he's probably just an 8 strikeouts per 9 guy. He's getting a lot of ground balls right now, which is great, but I don't know. Like the injury risk is still there. The fact that he's throwing so many splitters makes me think that the injury risk might be even greater.
Yep, I agree.
It's really close, but I think I'd rather still go with Gray.
Definitely. Definitely Gray for me. Heath?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, tonight's start's going to be interesting for Tanaka against this disciplined Royals team. We'll see what they do here.
Their discipline is waning.
Yeah, well, they're not very good right now. Buy or sell part one. I used to do movie titles for buy or sell and grade the trade. I used to do part one and part two. So we're bringing it back. We'll start with a classic. Buy or sell part one, A New Hope. Buy or sell from KT. Trevor Story will get his due by CBS analysts by the All-Star break.
I think he's getting his due right now.
Okay. Yeah, what does Trevor Story do?
Scott has him 8th. I have him 9th, and Al has him 11th at the shortstop position.
Yeah, you guys are being a little pessimistic. Dude can hit for power. Give him that.
So, Machado, mm-hmm. Correa, mm-hmm. Bogarts, mm-hmm. Lindor, mm-hmm. Seager.
Okay.
You have Seager over Story or Story over Seager?
I mean, I think Lindor, Seager, and Story are all pretty close to each other.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I didn't realize you'd elevated him that much.
I mean, Corey Seager's got to actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Really,
next up.
There's value in actually having done the thing that we're giving you credit for.
That's true.
Next up, guys, is from Kayla. Buy or sell Robinson Cano, top 3 American League MVP candidate this year.
He will definitely be a top 3 second baseman in the AL West.
Yeah, I'll sell that.
But he's not the best second baseman in the AL West.
No, he's not. Is he the second best? Yes, we'd have to put him over Odor. Wow, damn, some good second baseman of the AL West. What do you think? Is he a top 3 AL MVP candidate?
No.
No, but he's not going to be that far off. He's pretty legit what's happening.
Yeah, I don't think. It's going to be tough to win the MVP on a 500 team.
Oh, you're trolling now. You are trolling. Buy or sell, pitching prospects are overrated.
Generally.
Yeah, I'm tired of chasing them. Although I'm pretty intrigued by Tyler Glass now, I'm not going to lie. I hope he comes up soon.
No, as soon as they call another one up, we'll be running to the waiver wire to get him.
Yeah, and Blake Snell too. I really liked what I saw from him. Buy or sell, all those walks will hurt Bryce Harper in rotisserie leagues, non-OBP leagues, standard 5x5. All those walks are going to hurt Bryce Harper.
I'm disappointed, actually, Adam. You're usually so good at pimping my stories to Heath's chagrin.
I didn't see it.
I wrote about Bryce Harper. He's getting the Barry Bonds treatment. It obviously hurts him.
This lets you know how bad it was last week that Chris is now offended you didn't mention one of his 17 stories.
I'm just saying, you know, if Heath's going to complain every time. No, he's getting the Bryce Harper treatment or the Barry Bonds treatment. That's obviously bad for his fantasy value, even in head-to-head points. I mean, you do get points for those walks, but if it lowers the rate at which he picks up home runs and RBI, which are a lot more valuable, I think it definitely hurts him. That I don't think we're going to see him keep getting walked at the rate he has the last 4 games. it's up to him to adjust now, you know, because it's not just the intentional walks. It's the kind of nibbling. They're throwing a lot of low and away pitches, and that's a part of his game that he struggles with still. So it's on him to adjust, and I think he's talented enough that he will. Make mistakes that he'll take advantage of.
Who's your number one pick in the draft now in a roto league?
Him.
Okay. So it's,
I don't think I'm too baseball.
I'm going to walk out.
Here's one from Cody. Jose Quintana will end the season ranked higher than Matt Harvey. Buy or sell?
Think I would sell. I would definitely sell in roto for sure.
Kevin McAllister, how about that? Dustin Pedroia, buy or sell? Top five second baseman rest of season.
Sell.
Heath Cummings, buy or sell Ivan Nova? Now, you did tweet me that. I think that was after I said people.
That was in response to you saying you can't just give me a name, you must give me a statement.
But
and so I
always say, give me a statement, and then people are like, buy or sell this guy. I'm like, no, it can't just be a player, it has to be a statement. And then you go, buy or sell Ivan Nova. I sell him, by the way. From Heath to Keith. Corey Kluber is having yet another great season. Buy or sell?
He is starting off what will end up being another great season.
Buy.
Rob Cowell or Cowell. Gene Segura, top five shortstop. Finishes the season as a top five shortstop. Buy or sell Gene Segura?
Nah. Look, he's banked a lot of really good production, and shortstop's terrible enough that this might be true.
Is it really, though?
But he's not good. Like, I'm sorry. I am not buying this Gene Segura thing, so I will sell that.
I'm not going to go as far as to say he's just simply not good. I think
he will throw out the entire career.
I think he will be a top 12 second baseman.
You can't throw out. I mean, look, he did have one great half of a season.
Yes. He is now in the midst of his third good month ever.
Here's one from Ken Good. A lot of K names, by the way, in the tweets today. It's very strange. But Ken says, buy or sell Gerardo Parra is a top 20 outfielder rest of season. And I believe he's right around 12 so far. He's really having a good underrated year. So buy or sell Gerardo Parra, top 20 outfielder rest of season.
I'll sell.
Playing in Coors is fantasy steroids. I'll probably sell, but he's going to be worth starting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's not top 20, it looks like, agree or disagree, or I guess buy or sell, Gerardo Parra is going to outperform his draft position.
I would guess so. Buy.
Yeah. So good job, people. I know he was one of Scott's favorite breakouts. Okay, three up. We'll come back to buy or sell part two in a little bit. Three up, Carlos Beltran, two home runs yesterday. He's 50% owned. And then we have Nick Castellanos and Daniel Murphy, who just keep doing it. I mean, they both homered yesterday. Murphy's got a ton of doubles. We can explore him a little bit more. I know that's a point of contention between the two of you. How about Beltran, though? 50% owned. I mean, that's like Jackie Bradley territory. And
I would rather have Jackie Bradley.
I would rather have Jackie Bradley.
Marcell Ozuna or Carlos Beltran?
Ozuna.
Yeah, probably.
I don't have a lot of confidence that Beltran's going to make it through the end of the season.
Well, yeah, he's definitely going to get hurt at some point. The question is whether he can hit enough.
Like, I think he's still good at home run derby. He showed that yesterday against Chris Young, but
I don't know. They throw harder in the home run derby.
Yeah, no, you can't. You have to take everything the Yankees did yesterday with a grain of salt. Chris Young, terrible park for him, and the wind was blowing out
pretty fierce to right as well.
Yeah, he's done, Heath. He's done.
Chris Young or Carlos Beltran?
Chris Young. Dylan G is going to be in that rotation.
We were having this discussion yesterday. What uniform does Carlos Beltran go into the Hall of Fame in?
First of all, I don't think he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. But Astros? No.
He was only with the Astros for like 8 weeks.
Yeah, it can't be
that
the
was,
Astros.
That was,
but he went
was
to the World
no
Series.
Team he played less with.
He only went to the World Series with them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who would it be?
I don't know. Like, I think he still played more games with the Royals than any team, but he played close to as many with the Mets.
Mets, yeah.
I don't think it's going to... Chris reminded me that he played for the Giants. You don't...
He did?
Yeah, wasn't he on one of the World Series teams, too?
Oh, yeah. He got
traded. No, that was an odd year.
I thought he was there for 2 years. No, he was with the Cardinals for 2 years. Was he on one of the Cardinals World Series teams?
Yes. Pretty sure.
There you go. Carlos Beltran.
World
Series champion.
Was he?
Maybe.
Heath looked that up.
I don't believe that's accurate, but I'm looking.
Nick Castellanos and Daniel Murphy. Chris, go.
I mean, can we plead? Like, I know we're all in on, like, Dusty Baker. Oh, the Nationals are great because of Dusty Baker. What a brilliant move. But, like, this dude's lineups aren't real, right? Like, he still thinks it's spring training because he's batting Ryan Zimmerman cleanup. And Daniel Murphy's right there. Can we please move Daniel Murphy to fourth? I know he's not going to keep hitting this well, but, like, Dusty Baker doesn't know that.
Well, look, Daniel Murphy, last 2 months of 2015, he had a .533 slugging percentage with 8 home runs and 19 doubles. In the playoffs, yeah. Murphy homered in 6 straight games. Heath has talked about that. He's got a lot of power.
What did Daniel Murphy do after those 6 straight games?
Oh, does it matter what he did after those 6 straight games? He homered in 6 straight games.
If we're just going to bring up in the playoffs, he homered in 6 straight games. His playoff numbers were fine overall.
I've got him well ahead of Castellanos.
Yes. Oh,
that was the original question, I think, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
There was no question.
Carlos Beltran did not win a World Series. He played on the Cardinals team that lost to the Red Sox. But he is going to have 400 home runs and 300 stolen bases. How many players have reached those numbers and not made it to the Hall of Fame?
And how many times has he caught stealing? His steal percentage is like epic.
He's been caught. He's got 311 stolen bases, and he's been caught 49 times.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best postseason
87%.
He's got a 121 OPS plus, and he's got 500 doubles, and he's going to have 400 home runs.
That's a Hall of Famer, guys.
And then look up his postseason numbers, because his postseason numbers are just like off the charts.
Well, he was Daniel Murphy before Daniel Murphy was Daniel Murphy.
That's right. He was. All right, guys. I want to do more buy or sell to end the show. So you're looking at all the pitchers. Let me do the fringy guys. Tell me who you want in this group. Scott Kazmir, Anibal Sanchez, Colby Lewis, Clay Buchholz, Mike Fiers, Dan Straley.
Do I have to?
Pass?
Yes, you do. You're in a 14-team league.
I'll take Kazmir. I'll have Kazmir on my team in a 14-team league.
Okay, now you have to not do Kazmir because he's 80% owned. The other guys are like 50 or less.
I'll rank the rest of them. Fiers, Sanchez, Buchholz, Lewis, Straley.
Okay.
Buchholz, Fiers, Sanchez, Lewis, Straley. But Buchholz goes through these stretches where he's really good. Mike Fiers does too. But you always know the other shoe's going to drop with both of those guys.
I kind of disagree with you on Mike Fiers. I think you're selling him short.
I really don't. I don't know. He was fine for the Astros last season, but even then it was, what, a 3.8 ERA?
No, not with the Astros. It was like 3.30 with the Astros.
Well, most of that was in the pen, though, right?
3.32. I'm not sure.
I think he was a reliever down the stretch for them.
No. I don't buy... Like, he is a guy with really mediocre stuff.
Say that because he doesn't throw hard. It doesn't mean he has mediocre stuff.
Well, I
think
stuff
and velocity is not the same thing.
Like, if you throw 88 miles an hour, it's hard for you to have good stuff.
Look at what he did in 2014. You cannot do that if you have mediocre stuff. He was unbelievable.
In my defense, I was in the middle of a sentence.
I interrupted.
Mediocre stuff. Look, most pitchers are going to throw their fastballs 55 to 70% of the time. If you have a mediocre fastball, you by definition have mediocre stuff. You can make up for that to a certain extent with your secondary pitches, but it's really tough. The margin for error with Mike Fiers, as we've seen, is extremely slim. He's going to give up a lot of home runs.
He's not the best player ever, okay?
That 2014 also was 71 innings. You can... have a 2-1-3.
Look, he's got
it was ridiculous what he was doing that year. He was like,
yeah, it was like
Cy Young for 7
starts. It was a third of a season.
All right. So listen, I noticed that Mike Fiers got dropped in our 16 team rejects league.
Okay.
Or for the people league, excuse me. I picked him up. I put in a claim for him and I was shocked that I got him. So that means you guys probably didn't put in a claim for him.
Nope.
That's
crazy. 16 team league that he needs to be owned.
He's worth owning in that league. Yes, he's probably worth owning in a 14-team league. He might be worth owning in a 12-team league, but he is the pitcher that you drop when you want to pick someone up in a 12-team league.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no doubt.
You want to talk about the best approximation we have of stuff is probably swinging strike rate then. If you don't want to give me velocity, swing strike rate, right?
Sure.
What's wrong with called strike rate?
8.1% swing strike rate this season, 9.2% for his career. He gets decent strikeout numbers overall, but...
No, that's the thing. He's always been a strikeout per inning. I mean, I think... all right, it doesn't matter. In the bullpen, do you think it's time to pick up and stash Sam Dyson? Because Tolleson struggled last night.
Hasn't Dyson struggled quite a bit this year?
He hasn't been
good enough to take the job, I don't feel
He's got like a 2-something ERA.
Does he really?
I'm almost positive.
I've only seen him pitch a couple times.
He has 2.25 ERA.
Okay. I've only seen him, which isn't... ERA is not generally...
Strikeout rate's a little low. Walk rate a little high.
What do you think? Sam Dyson, stash him or no?
I don't think so.
All right. Tony Cingrani got a save for Cincinnati. Any interest?
Not really. I'd rather have Cingrani than Dyson.
Even that, I think I'd rather... I don't know if I'd rather have either one of them, but I guess... Cingrani might get a save or two.
And AJ Ramos struggled, so Chris, way to jinx him.
It was his first appearance in 4 days.
Is that Brian Morris that came in and got the save?
Yeah, Brian Morris came in and got the save.
Shut the door.
Gregory Polanco
walked in a run with the bases loaded.
Yeah, they got charged to Ramos. Gregory Polanco has been batting third lately. That's great.
Finally.
Domingo Santana sat again, but he pinch hit. John Lamb probably going to miss his next start due to a thumb injury. Scooter Jeanette scheduled to return Thursday. Joe Mauer will likely lead off tonight against Baltimore. I'm going to try something different there. Arizona sent Archie Bradley back to AAA after last night's start. Yasmani Tomas sat with a sore neck. He's likely to play today. Andrelton Simmons needs thumb surgery. Jed Lowry fouled the ball off his foot. He was on crutches after the game. X-rays were negative for Lowry. And Eduardo Rodriguez is going to need at least one more rehab start before joining the Bo Sox rotation. Got a few minutes left. Let's do Buy or Sell Part 2. Buy or Sell Strikes Back. Get it?
Electric Boogaloo.
I am in the process of getting Fooled You, the MP3, and making that a segment. So
there you go.
Be excited. This is from Sazid from Chandler. Buy or Sell Piscotty, top 25 outfielder rest of season.
Sell.
Yeah, I've got him right around 30, so I don't think it's that far off, but I'll sell because... I don't think he's quite that good.
From me, I put this one in myself. Delino DeShields is the odd man out when Shin-Soo Chu comes back.
Right now, I would buy that.
Yep.
From Todd, Chris Sale will go 35-0. Buy or sell?
You know, it's going to be close, but I'll sell.
I hope his ERA is good.
If he's 35-0, it will be. I can promise you that. From Joe, Travis Shaw finishes the season as a higher-ranked third baseman than Brandon Drury.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I like that one. That makes you think. From Eric, Azer will be even more condescending and know-it-all-y than usual on today's show while prattling on about Corey Kluber's crappy
Probably should have put this one earlier.
Yeah, I probably should have. I buy it.
But yeah, that one.
That was a clear buy.
That one was self-evidently obvious.
From Stretch, Tony Cingrani gets 20-plus saves for the Reds this season.
Sell.
Sell, sell, sell.
From D-Lar, buy or sell Ryan Braun. Top ten outfielder rest of season.
I'm gonna sell, but that one's almost as close as I felt about Piscotty as the 25 top 25.
On a per plate appearance basis, probably.
No, nobody plays in per plate appearance leagues, Chris.
Maybe they do.
And Trevor Story finishes as a top 3 shortstop. This is from HT2. Buy or sell Story top 3.
I mean, I don't think he'll be a top 3 shortstop for the rest of the season. I mean, he might be. But he's got all those home runs banked. Yeah, I think he finishes as a top 3 shortstop.
I think he has a decent chance to finish the top 3 in Roto. I don't think he will in points.
It hurt him that Manny Machado gained eligibility.
Does, well, and the fact that, I mean, Aledmys Diaz has been so much better.
Remember like 8 days ago when we were back off Trevor Story again?
Oh, yeah, I will be again probably in a week. You looked at me funny when I said Aledmys Diaz has been so much better.
No, I just want to know who ranked. Story's got to be better because of the bats, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Diaz, I think, still has the number one WOBA in all of baseball.
Sounds about right.
I'm going to try something here. I hope you can hear it. So everybody just be quiet. Hey, remember when Trevor Story was bad? Hold on. Oh, wait, I'll try it again. Remember when Trevor Story was bad? Can anybody hear that?
No, that was the worst segment in the history of the podcast.
Is that a Pokemon?
No, that's Dark Helmet and Spaceballs going.
Yeah, we can't hear it.
No, oh, stop.
Dude, I hear like some really thing.
All right, well, I'm working on it. Okay, I'm working.
Clearly.
I have to boost that in the post-production. All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you to Heath and Chris. Thank you to Corey Kluber for giving us some fodder. Good stuff. You guys take care. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
ERA matters.